Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to talk about something that's missing, actually. The Holy Spirit, in a sense, is missing sometimes from our lives. Dr. Chris Bergwald helps us understand what we're talking about there and how we might make a change, a little adjustment in our life to be more inclusive of the Holy Spirit on this Pentecost Sunday. We'll have Renee Krantz with the news in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Pentecost Sunday. Don Wolf with the first and second reading, and Father Darren Schmidt with the gospel.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together, and suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound they gathered in a large crowd. But they were confused because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all of these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in every one. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always. Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Those who do not love me do not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Renee Krantz.
The Sioux Falls Catholic Schools will now be known under a new name, Bishop O'Gorman Catholic Schools. Students from 20 different communities attend schools within the Catholic school system, which was formed in 1991. Bishop O'Gorman Catholic Schools are made up of 6 elementary schools, 1 centralized junior high, and 1 high school, and serve approximately 2,600 students from 1,500 families. On May 28th, the UN General Assembly adopted a resolution establishing August 22nd as the day of commemorate victims of violence based on religion. The resolution invites all member states, relevant organizations, civil society, individuals, and the private sector to observe the International Day and show appropriate support for victims of religiously motivated violence. In the wake of recent religiously motivated terrorist attacks, the resolution notes a serious concern for continuing acts of intolerance and violence based on religion or belief against individuals, including persons belonging to religious communities and religious minorities around the world. A Filipino teenager who died could be on his way to sainthood after the Vatican declared him a servant of God, the first step in the process towards sainthood. The Congregation for Saints' Causes gave the Diocese of Cubo, Philippines, the green light to look into the life of Darwin Ramos, who died in 2012 at age 17. The declaration was made public in Manila, May 31st. Bishop Ernesto Ongtioco of Cubo said the Vatican declaration reminded Catholics that we are invited to give witness to our faith in concrete ways. The chairman of the U.S. Bishops Migration Committee, Bishop Joe S. Vasquez of Austin, Texas, praised the U.S. House for passing a measure that gives permanent legal protection to Dreamers and those covered by the temporary protected status and deferred enforced departure programs in the United States. With a 237-187 vote, the House okayed the Dream and Promise Act of 2019. It would provide a pathway to citizenship for Dreamers, for qualifying Dreamers, TPS holders, and those covered by DED. Vasquez urged the Senate to take up this legislation. With the news, this is Renee Kranz with the Bishop's Bulletin.
Great, Renee. Thanks so much. I'm fascinated by that young man that you mentioned who's possible a saint candidate.
Yes.
17 years old.
17.
Kind of makes me want to know more about his life.
Absolutely. We need to find it out.
We might have to look into that. All right. Thanks for the news. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Dr. Chris Bergwald, who is all things evangelization and discipleship.
well, let's not go that far.
Really focused on the adult side of that, of course, for that office. Chris, you haven't been on in a while.
That's what you said the other day,
so,
Jerry.
I'm kind of happy to have you back on. And I love talking to you about topics like this because I always learn something. I think our listeners learn something.
I hope so.
And it helps me to think about things. You know, sometimes it's just that little bit tilt your head a little bit and you see things a little bit differently.
Yes.
So that's what we hope happens this morning. We're going to talk about the missing person of the Holy Trinity.
Or forgotten.
Or forgotten
yes.
person. Not missing.
Not really missing.
But maybe missing in our own lives.
Yes, yes.
We're going to do that in the context, of course, Pentecost, which, as most people are hearing the program, is today.
Right.
And then talk a little bit as we move into ordinary time and all of the wonderful liturgical things that happen in the month of June this year. So much happens in this month of June. But let's start with that forgotten member.
Of the Trinity.
Of the Trinity. What does that mean?
Yeah, well, I just think that, Jerry, if most of us, when we think about God, okay, God, there's God. All right. Now, God's triune. Great. So, Father, what comes to mind? Old guy with a beard. Jesus, what comes to mind? Well, Jesus. Holy Spirit, what comes to mind? A dove.
I don't know what that, yeah.
Or
I don't know what to think.
Fire. Or, and therefore, oftentimes the Holy Spirit becomes more of sort of like a force, like God's power, something like that, as opposed to what he is, the third person of the Trinity, completely just as much a person, someone, as opposed to something,
yep.
as the Father and the co-equal, co-eternal. If you listen, Jerry, to the words that we say at Mass every Sunday in the Creed about the Holy Spirit, he's always been there.
Right.
He's been working just as the Father and the Son have been from the beginning of time. He's been always part, he's God. And yet, I think for most of us, we kind of forget about him.
Even though when we make the sign of the cross,
we say his name.
We invoke the Holy Spirit.
We invoke the Holy Spirit in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I think, you know, in our work, discipleship and evangelization, for many years now, together, well, I mean, this has been the church's history, but in our office, we've been emphasizing personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
A lot of people get that.
Yep.
And that, but that relationship comes in and through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And and that's where we get what you said a little bit. What you said earlier, maybe a tilt of the head, like, oh yeah,
uh-huh.
him.
Uh-huh. And don't you think, Chris, that because of who we are as human beings, we think when we think of person, we think of body. And we can't probably think of God in quite the same way because God's body.
Right.
Jesus.
Right.
Jesus has a human body.
Yeah.
But God the Father, God the Holy Spirit,
right.
May not. We don't know for sure, I guess.
Correct.
But so I think
they don't. They don't.
I kind of think that impedes maybe our ability to comprehend it.
Yeah, and I do think, like I said, with the Father, I think oftentimes people think of an older man with a beard, a grandfatherly figure, because that's how he's been portrayed in art, frankly. But the Spirit is always portrayed, again, fire, dove, but not so much as a person, except for a few icons. There's a famous icon by an icon that Eastern sort of tradition, more almost two-dimensional, more of a mystical way of painting, where you see the three persons of the Trinity looking like angels sitting around what seems to be a table. It's actually an altar. That is, for people who know, that's a well-known portrayal of all three persons of the Trinity as persons. But oftentimes, again, the Holy Spirit is not portrayed in that personal way.
And this, of course, is not something unique to, you just invoked the Orthodox in a sense. This is across Christianity.
Yeah.
Right. We're not just talking about something Catholic here. This is across Christianity. And I'm not so sure that a lot of us struggle with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very common. And that's where, frankly, one of the gifts that the Pentecostal / charismatic movement among Christians in general, including within the Catholic Church, has been a gift. That through those movements, through people whose spirituality tends in that direction, we have, many of us have been reminded, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit is someone too. And in order for me to have a relationship with Jesus and therefore the Father, I must also have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I mean, with one comes all three. I mean, you can't leave out any one of them to have a relationship with any one of them.
Yeah, and they are distinct persons.
They're distinct persons.
Yeah, so you have to, in a sense, or you want to, to get the fullness.
Yeah, and that this we're sort of teasing next Sunday's Trinity Sunday, I think, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
And that gets into that great the time that I don't want to look too much ahead, but priests and deacons just love Trinity Sunday.
It's the old joke that the quickest way to fall into heresy is to preach about the Holy Trinity.
Absolutely. Yep. So maybe we'll come back to that in a little bit. But the Holy Spirit is, I think, again, a forgotten person in the Trinity. The average Christian, including the average Catholic, I think, thinks that he really didn't do anything until Pentecost. No, he's, again, always been there.
Yeah.
And we do invoke him every time we say the sign of the cross. And there are many beautiful prayers to the Trinity and today to the Holy Spirit. And today is the culmination of that novena that begins on Ascension Thursday, even though most of us celebrate it last Sunday,
right?
Those 9 days of prayer.
One of the ways that I have personally been able to maybe deepen my connection to the Holy Spirit is actually through the rosary. And that might surprise people, but that moment of praying the glorious mysteries and particularly the one about the descent of the Holy Spirit, which of course is Pentecost,
today,
is what we're talking about. But for me, that's almost a key moment as I pray those mysteries of the rosary, because it's a moment when I pray for people in my life.
Right.
For whom I know the descent of the Holy Spirit could be such a powerful and meaningful and necessary thing.
Yep.
So in a way, that is, I guess I wanted to mention that because I think maybe some of us are looking for ways to develop this relationship with the Holy Spirit.
And honestly, how do you develop, to your point right there, ask.
Mm-hmm.
As with anything with God, he wants to give it to you. He just wants to have the freedom. He wants us to ask for it. So the Holy Spirit wants to move in our lives more powerfully, but God is always, usually very polite and waits for us to invite him in. So if you're, what does it mean to have the relationship? I think I want that, but I don't know. How do I have to pray in Latin? And hopping on one leg or praying tongues.
Do I have to pray in tongues to get the Holy
Spirit? No and no.
No and no. You might.
but you might, right?
You might.
And that's where we kind of freak out because I'm losing control.
Yeah.
True. But pray, beg, please. Holy Spirit, I want to know you more. Come into my life. Your own words, say something like that.
I think I've read this one of the prayers that's always appropriate no matter what the circumstance is, come Holy Spirit.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
So in a way, that's the invitation that we're talking about.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, exactly. And I pray that often, come Holy Spirit. There's a prayer, some come Holy Spirit, come through Mary. You know, the rosary you mentioned earlier.
Right.
There's sort of a Marian way to pray that as well. But yes, come Holy Spirit is a
enkindle in us the fire.
Come Holy Spirit. Yeah, yeah. And that prayer, that beautiful prayer to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The other thing too, Jared, why pray for the Holy Spirit for ourselves in addition to deepening our relationship? In Acts chapter 1, Jesus' last words before he ascends are, this is paraphrasing, you will receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Yeah.
Why are we celebrating Pentecost? Why did the first Pentecost happen? Going back to how you introduced me, all things evangelization, we need the Holy Spirit to do the work of evangelization and discipleship. That's why the Holy Spirit came in a new, powerful way, that first Pentecost. He'd always been present. Then why the first Pentecost? For the evangelization of the world.
I've loved hearing the Acts of the Apostles, as I do every year
during Easter. Yep.
We hear the Acts of the Apostles during the Easter season. And so often the Holy Spirit is referenced in the Acts of the Apostles. Sometimes to the surprise of the disciples and the apostles that the Holy Spirit is available to those beyond themselves and beyond.
Yes.
Well, it's like, wait a minute, wait, the Holy Spirit's for everybody?
Right.
It is.
Exactly. Yeah. Because he's always been there. He's always working, just like the Father and the Son are.
Yeah. So anyway, it's maybe another way an analogy can be the Holy Spirit's like a door opening. You know, the door opens because the Holy Spirit is moving us.
Yes.
And then we see things in a different way.
Amen.
It opens a door for us.
Amen.
I guess is what I'm trying
to
say. So that's Pentecost, and it's today. And if you are slighting the Holy Spirit in some way in your own life, here's the invitation. To find the forgotten member of the Trinity. Trinity.
And like you said, it's as simple as come Holy Spirit.
So do you want to move into preaching about the Trinity yourself? Have you ever thought about doing that?
Well, fortunately, as a simple, humble layman, I don't have to deal with that.
I know that.
But I do. Actually, I do teach on the Trinity. Oftentimes, okay, I don't know if I've literally heard this from any of our priests and deacons in our diocese in the many years that I've lived here, but you know, the story, it's a mystery, you know, which is true.
Which is
but
true.
There is something that we can say, and there's a great book by a theologian, Bullivant is his last name, Stephen Bullivant, The Trinity, How Not to Be a Heretic.
Yeah.
It's 120 pages long, very easy read, and I say that for the average Catholic out there, if you are at all interested in learning more about the Trinity, get this book. I will not get a commission. I don't get a plug for saying this, or I don't get money for plugging it. It's a great, straightforward exposition of what we can actually say about the Trinity. I think sometimes we're almost afraid to talk about the Trinity because we're afraid of being a heretic.
Yeah.
But we can say, and what Bullivant does in his book is, there is one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are each God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are not the same. Those are the three statements that are at the heart of our doctrine. There's only one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is each God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are not the same. We hold those three things in tension. The reason there's been heresy, Jerry's laughing over here.
I'm just looking at you because I'm trying to comprehend that.
Yeah, so we hold those things, and the reason that the great heresies of the early church, people tried to wrap their minds around that, and their conclusion was, let's just drop one of those three things.
Yeah.
We'll just get rid of one of them.
Yeah, it makes it more explainable to us humans.
Yeah, and that no, that's when you go sideways.
Yeah.
So the great, yeah, so and there's more, much more we could say, but the Trinity is the nature of who God is in and of himself. Three persons, one God, three persons. And when we know that and when we embrace it, that's who God is, and therefore we can love him more.
Yeah. The same in the sense of three persons.
equal,
but distinct.
But they're not the same. They're distinct. They're distinct.
Yeah.
They're distinct.
See, so, I'm there. Right. I'm falling to heresy immediately. Lord, forgive me. I'm Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Back to the Back to this week.
I just want people to, if you get a chance to look at any kind of a liturgical calendar, maybe some of you have one at home that you picked up at church that lists the different feast days and different things in the month of June. It's unusual because of the way the calendar falls this year that all of these different things that we celebrate as church fall into this month of June. It's very unusual. Mm-hmm. But we go from the Ascension to the Pentecost to celebrating the Holy Trinity to Corpus Christi, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And then finally, at the end of the month, we get into Ordinary Time.
Right. Well, no. Ordinary Time starts tomorrow.
Well, okay.
But
the first Sunday of Ordinary Time,
and technically they're
it's
all
the 13th Sunday.
They're Sundays of Ordinary Time. Yeah.
See,
yeah.
You're just getting me all confused now.
I brought up the Trinity and now went downhill from there.
But the point is, there's all of these different ways that we try to understand our faith, celebrate our faith, and we use these tools to help us do that.
And one of the great Fridays that's in there near the end of the month is the Sacred Heart as well. And then the next day, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So it is, chock full.
Actually, it's St. Peter and Paul is the day
Right. Yes. Because it's 29th this year.
Yeah. So lots of different ways that we try to, like I said, really understand God and our relationship to God. I mean, we mentioned the Holy Trinity, but Corpus Christi, I know for a lot of our parishes, they do processions and so forth. Mm-hmm. We celebrate Jesus Christ in the body and blood of the Eucharist. The Eucharist.
Yep. And then we do, this confusion aside, after the day after Pentecost, that is tomorrow, Monday, the 10th, we start Ordinary Time. All these great feasts are all part of Ordinary Time. The Sundays after Pentecost, but we start Ordinary Time. And I think it's important to, remember sometimes Ordinary, does that mean boring or normal? No. First of all, it just comes from the ordinal Sundays.
Right.
It's just, it has nothing, it's not.
It's not extraordinary ordinary.
Exactly. It's, the number.
Ordinal.
Ordinal. Yeah. But this is the season where we are going to hear during the gospel readings till Thanksgiving now about Jesus' public ministry. We just finished Easter, so that was about his resurrection. Lent, of course, is preparing for that. Advent is preparing for his birth. But now we hear about his public ministry. And this is the time for us to sort of live out in our ordinary daily lives our faith in an intentional way. Because we do. I mean, there is a sense in which the Lent and Easter are heightened seasons. Mm-hmm. But now we, quote unquote, return to ordinary time. And it's sort of like going down from the mountaintop, just like Peter, James, and John after the Transfiguration. And we live out the graces that we've received these last 50 days, 40 days before that.
And I think if we're honest with ourselves, it's often in those ordinary, if we dare use that word, moments of our life where we sometimes find the most profound aspects of who we are as people of faith.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If we're listening to the word, if we're listening to the prayers, if we're, frankly, if we're praying ourselves, where does God speak? Is it in the thunder? Is it in the light? It's in the whisper.
It's in
the wind.
Yep.
The lightness of God's touch sometimes in our life is unbelievable.
Yep. And so being ordinary time is in many ways about being attentive to that wind, that lightness of his touch.
Yeah. Now, as we wrap up, a couple of minutes left this morning, Chris, summertime for some people means, I don't have time for church, or I don't really need to go.
Vacation from church.
Kids aren't in school, the routine is broken up. All of that stuff. And we've talked about this perhaps yearly.
But probably.
Because we want to encourage people not to take that approach.
Yeah, I think this year, the way I would approach that is, look what happens at Mass. Most literally, the culmination is when we're celebrating Corpus Christi this month, when we receive Jesus Christ, body, blood, and soul, and divinity. We are literally nourished. But most profoundly, not materially, bodily, but spiritually nourished. And just as you wouldn't go without eating for the summer, bodily, don't go without eating spiritually. Don't go without spiritual nourishment. Don't go without receiving the word in the word of God, the sacred scripture, and receiving the word literally made flesh, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist. God wants to us to commune. So much of what we do in the summer in our vacations is about relaxing and getting away if we're able to do that, vacation, that sort of thing. God wants us to do those things.
Right.
That's why he gave us the Sabbath, a day of rest.
Right.
God wants us to rest, but we can't truly, ultimately, the perfect rest will be heaven. And he wants us to rest with him every week in the Holy Mass. So I know that oftentimes it feels like, and I get it. I mean, even for me at times, like,
yeah. Well, it's, you know, you got to get the kids all ready.
Exactly.
You got to do all the stuff that happens. And yep. How is this restful for me?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
And yet, the midst of the Eucharist, there is great rest.
Exactly.
Profound peace.
So maybe think of it that way. Like, there's an obligation. That's the reality. But this is beyond an obligation. It's an opportunity for us to rest with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Don't forget about the Holy Spirit.
Don't forget about the Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. On this Pentecost, Dr. Chris Bergwald from the Discipleship and Evangelization Office. Thanks again.
You bet, Jerry.
Renee, on this Pentecost, it's I was fascinated by Dr. Chris's observation that we sometimes overlook the Holy Spirit, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk about that. It's not something we think about.
It really isn't.
As much as we might.
Yep.
So it's summertime, but still lots of activities going on.
There are. The Women's Conference is coming up on June 15th.
That's an exciting event for those that, maybe want to treat their wives or their daughters or their grandmas or something or any of those people directly. Still lots of tickets available.
Yeah.
You can go to the website, sfcatholic.org, and you'll find information there about what the event is and why you should come.
Yeah. I know lots of women would appreciate a gift like that.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I know my wife plans to go. I think it's, she's looking forward to it very much. And then you can still fish tomorrow, I think, if you're in the pier area. You might be able to, Bishop's Charity Fishing Tournament's coming up tomorrow.
Should get good weather.
Should be great weather for that. So I hope people will take advantage of that as well. So lots of fun stuff to do. And as Dr. Chris and I talked a little bit about, don't forget your faith in the summer. You know, sometimes we want to check out, but let's not check out on our faith.
Mass is still there.
Mass is still there. The Lord is still accessible by our prayers. So hope everybody takes advantage of that. That's our time for Catholic Views this morning. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back next Sunday.